Good evening, everyone. My name is Lisa Davis, and I'm the chair for the Committee to Investigate Allegations of Racism and Sexism. This is Monday, June 25th, and we are starting this meeting at approximately 8:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to, first of all, before going into the meeting, just take a moment to thank all of you all who support Pacifica. We could not do it without the listeners. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to these meetings. I know it's not easy, but we do appreciate everything that you do. And I guess we should begin by first taking a roll call. And as we don't have a secretary yet, which that will be, of course, we will resolve that by the time this meeting is over, I guess I'll take the roll. Laurie Taguma?
Here.
Okay. Lydia Bazan?
Here.
Evelyn Bethune?
Present.
Lisa Davis, present. A.C. Bird? And Saab Rendawa?
Here.
Oh, you're here. Congrats.
Hi, Lisa.
Okay.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight, especially this hot, hot night. Does everybody have a copy of the proposed agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
One of the first items that I have on the agenda, if you'll notice, even before approval of agenda, is the establishment of a secretary or acting secretary. Do I hear any volunteers?
I'll serve as acting secretary for this meeting.
Oh, okay.
This is Lydia.
Okay, good. I guess we also should
The only reason I don't volunteer for the permanent is because I'm rarely home at this time, and I can imagine that some of our meetings I will be on the road and unable to take minutes. So. I'll do it for this one.
Thank you so much, and I will ask all members of the committee to pitch in. I know it's an arduous job being a secretary, but we really do need somebody to keep track of, you know, these minutes and stuff like that we, and the things we discuss. Is it normally a vice chair for most of the committees? Because we don't have a vice chair for this one, but if not, we can just go on to the rest of the agenda. Okay, the second item that we have on the agenda is approval of the agenda. So do we have any objections to, is there anything anybody wants to add or to look at or?
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Now, let's see. Reviewing suggestions for establishing a code of conduct, is that a consideration? Does that include consideration of the motion that you sent us that had previously failed a long time ago that Bob wrote up?
Right. That's the item? Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything that people want to add? I'm sorry, what did you say?
Oh, okay. So what I was going to suggest is, I move to approve the agenda just with the understanding that I personally think that we could get through five, and I would like to see us at our next meeting focus on just six and make that a one agenda item meeting. Because that's like a very lengthy agenda item, I think. But which doesn't mean we can't review the things and maybe get a few quick assignments, but I can't see how we would get through number six, which doesn't mean we can't get through number six.
I do agree with that, Lydia, because it is lengthy, and I don't want us to rush through that particular
Exactly.
Part.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think it's going to be enough, having seen the motion that Bob had previously written, which I think is a good one with some editing of it, that's going to be enough for this meeting.
Right. And I just wanted to say, because I put these agenda items down kind of like, you know, as a guide for us somewhat, so I understand wholeheartedly that we're not going to be able to get through all of this, and some things will require more time. So I think that's important. And why don't I just for the... Just for the stream, does anybody want to read the agenda?
Yeah, that's fine. Wait, I had one more point. However, I thought it would be useful to have E as the one item that we might consider today. So to put that up at the top of six, and maybe that would be the one item we could kind of get through, because we might have we have two things kind of developed. One is if we move ahead with that motion that you sent out, and two is with the articulation of the charge that you also sent out, and that could be in the written report that everybody has in their book so they don't forget we're here.
Now, I'm sorry, where were you suggesting that E should be moved to? Under
that E should be A.
Okay.
Of A of six, and that realistically we probably won't get beyond that, but...
Right.
But
yeah.
We could still move the agenda. So in the concrete, I'm just saying E should be the first item under six.
Okay. Any objections? Assuming no objections, E will be the first item under number six. For purposes of the stream, does anybody wish to volunteer to read the agenda with that change?
Sure, I can do it.
Okay.
Hello? Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay, proposed agenda, item number one, establish a secretary or acting secretary. Item number two, approval of agenda. Item number three, set the next meeting date. We're allocating 10 minutes for that. Item number four, review the charge of the committee. 10 minutes also allocated for that. Item number five, review suggestions for establishing a code of conduct. We've allocated 30 minutes for that. Item number six, considerations for establishing guidelines for the committee. And in parentheses, please note the following are only suggestions and are not meant to be inclusive of various issues. We have now moved item E to the first position, which is how will the committee report out to the PNB? Next, under item six, would be what are the guidelines for the committee that the committee will follow? C, how will the committee utilize the foundation's legal counsel and available human resources to ensure a legal and a sound operating structure? D, how will complaints be brought before the committee? E, how will investigations be conducted? Sub under D, number one, will committee members on the national board fly out to various areas to conduct investigations? Two, will investigations be conducted on the LSB level when or if complaints involve LSB board members?
Okay, thank you so much, Evelyn, for that. The next item on the agenda is set the meeting date, and hopefully that should take no longer than 10 minutes. I'm going to pull up the KPFTX org calendar right now. Because as we know, these dates fly if we don't set one as soon as we can. And as soon as something comes up, hopefully this will not make my computer go out as it normally likes to. Hold on 1 second. Okay, it's coming up. Okay. So this is a... June 25th, today's date. Let's go into July. How do people feel a meeting about 3 weeks from now? Would that work?
Is that July 16th?
Well, yeah. Committee, right? In the archive committee, we have Wednesdays are not good for me normally. How about a Tuesday, July 24th? That would bring us into about a month from now.
I mean, I think it's problematic to do anything the week of PNB.
That's right.
But what's
is
available
there any way
the week
you could
before?
Do the 18th?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm good on the 18th. Wednesday, the 18th?
That's not good for me, the 18th. It's a Wednesday. Evelyn, were you about to say something?
I was just saying, would the 18th work? But if it's not good for you.
Yeah, normally it's not, but I mean, I might be able to work around that if it's good for everybody else. Let me just throw this out. Is Monday the 9th too soon?
I can't on the 9th.
Okay. Then,
second Mondays of every month I can't. I have another organization of which I'm president. So.
Okay. So that's, yeah, if the 18th is the time everybody else can do that. Favre, that's okay by you?
18th is fine with me.
All right. But I'll just say generally Wednesdays for me do not work, but I can probably make an exception for this Wednesday. So we'll go on and mark Wednesday the 18th.
And you'll put it on the calendar before someone else
scoops
it up?
Yes, I'll put it on the calendar. I'll put it on the calendar right now as we speak, if I can.
Okay, good.
Hold on 1 second. I use the big word, if I can.
Okay, 8:30?
Yes, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Eastern Standard Time. Let's see. Hopefully this will work. Okay, in the meantime, does everybody have the motion that established this committee? Did everybody get that?
Yes,
I did.
I wonder if somebody wanted to know, to begin, if somebody wanted to volunteer to begin to read that. And one of the reasons why I thought that it would sort of be important to do that is we all know without getting into much detail that there's been a lot of questions around this committee and what our purview is and whether we would be doing things that would affect staff and producers and all that kind of stuff. So I think it would be good to just, you know, kind of start with that again. So do I hear any volunteers?
Okay, sure. Here we go.
Okay.
Motion as amended, adopted at the 310-06 Pacifica National Board teleconferencing meeting. Whereas the mission statement of the Pacifica Foundation charges it with the responsibility of engaging in activities that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors. And whereas the mission statement of the Pacifica Foundation charges it with the responsibility of gathering and disseminating information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of the foundation to promote, among other things, the study of political causes of racial antagonism, and whereas it is therefore clear that racist conduct by members of the Pacifica National Board is counter to the mission of Pacifica, be it resolved that the PNB shall appoint 5 directors to an ad hoc committee to investigate and report out to the full PNB all alleged incidents of racism and sexism by current PNB and LSB members throughout the Pacifica network. Further resolved that the committee is instructed to report its findings to the Pacifica National Board, and if the committee finds that any specific comments and conduct were injurious to the goals of the foundation, the committee is instructed to report resolutions containing its recommendations to the Pacifica National Board. A minority report or reports may also be submitted if desired by any committee member. Passed, 9 yes, 6 no.
Okay, thank you so much, Evelyn, for that. Does anybody have any questions thus far? Okay, so I think that one of the most important steps is to establish a code of conduct. And one of the thing that Lydia was referring to earlier, and I sent this around, and again, this is a guideline. We certainly will go over this tonight and add suggestions and all this kind of stuff. But Bob was explaining to me that a couple of years ago, under the previous executive director, that he had sort of implemented or recommended, you know, a guideline or procedures involving discriminatory conduct. Should we come across any discriminatory conduct by Pacifica National and local board members, or I should say more specifically, he was referring to staff and members, and board members. And so from that, there has been some movement by the Pacifica National Board, but unfortunately not due to anything deliberate, as we all know that, you know, we get involved in so many different things, and sometimes we don't get a chance to complete things. So the stage that this is at now it had eventually gone to the governance committee, and they set up a committee to examine it. But again, you know, many times you don't get a chance to complete things. And from what I understand, the stage that it is currently at now is that I think, and Saab, you can correct me on this, but I think there's been another code of conduct group within the governance committee. However, I do not see where that precludes us from being able to certainly look at this and to develop and to give our input in terms of what we think a code of conduct should be, especially as this will, you know, be passed or not by the national board. So that's where we are with this code of conduct, but I do think that it's necessary, you know, at one of the first stages with this committee. And hopefully a lot of people have been felt kind of apprehensive about the word investigate, but hopefully if this committee does our work well, which I think that we will, it will be preventive. So, you know, we need to establish guidelines and make people aware of things and things that are sensitive to various cultures so that we can be preventive with this. Okay. So let's just, I guess we can just start right into, does everybody have what I sent out, the motion, or the proposed motion, I should say?
No, I don't have it.
Okay, so I guess then we can just start in with reading this. And
did someone just say they don't have it?
I don't have it.
You don't have it, Sarv?
Hey, Sarv, it was on, you sent it out today, I believe.
Right. I did send it out today.
Around 11:20.
Let me see if I can...
I appreciate if you can miss.
Does anybody have access to that right now in front of their computer?
Yes.
I mean, I can...
Yeah, I can send it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay. You want me to read it?
Oh, sure, please.
Okay. Whereas the mission of Pacifica includes engaging in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, and whereas the Pacifica Foundation non-discrimination and anti-harassment policy includes, among others, the following provisions. This is in quotes, conduct that denigrates or shows hostility or aversion toward an individual because of his or her race, color, religion, national origin, age, disability, citizenship status, marital status, genetic predisposition or carrier status, and sexual orientation or gender identity is strictly prohibited. Harassing conduct includes but is not limited to epithets, slurs, negative stereotyping, threatening, intimidating, or hostile acts, denigrating jokes and display or circulation in the workplace of written or graphic material that denigrates or shows hostility or aversion toward an individual or group, including through email. Quote, again, in addition to violent, I don't know, everything seems to be in quotes. I don't know if this is, oh, no, it stops. Okay. So this must all be from Pacifica Handbook Employment Issue Policy. In addition to violating Pacifica policy, certain forms of harassment, including sexual harassment, are illegal under a variety of federal, state, and local laws. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission defines sexual harassment, for example, as unwelcome physical, verbal, or visual conduct of a sexual nature. Individuals and conduct covered. These policies apply to applicants, employees, volunteers, board members, and others not directly connected to the foundation, such as vendors, consultants, and customers. Conduct prohibited by these policies is unacceptable in the workplace and in any work-related setting outside the workplace, such as during Pacifica Foundation trips, Pacifica Foundation meetings, and Pacifica Foundation-related social and community events. And whereas harassing and discriminatory statements and conduct, as defined above, by members of the Pacifica National Board or local station boards, not only attack the individual person targeted, but also serve to stigmatize and discriminate against the targeted social group as a whole in a manner that directly contradicts the Pacifica mission. And whereas the Pacifica bylaw states that Robert's Rules of Order shall govern the foundation in all cases, where they are applicable and in which they are not inconsistent with these bylaws or any special rules of order which the foundation may adopt. But Robert's Rules does not address the above list of discriminatory behavior by board members, limiting itself to prohibitions on personal attacks against other board members. Therefore, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board determines as a policy matter that any of the conduct referred to in the Pacifica Foundation non-discrimination and anti-harassment policy constitutes a discriminatory act which, if found through due process, to have been committed by a member of a local station board and or the National Pacifica National Board, shall warrant appropriate action such as training and or discipline. Principles of progressive corrective action and discipline will be followed in determining what action to take.
Okay.
That's the end. Okay, so I have an edit.
Okay.
Okay, I think we could do without the whole paragraph on Robert's Rules. I don't think that's necessary. You take it out, it means nothing. We're passing a policy, so I don't think there's any need to have that paragraph in there. I also think that the whole thing needs to be vetted by counsel, and in particular, the paragraph that refers to the EEOC and its definition of sexual harassment, because that is not the only definition of sexual harassment under which we have to take care. So either we add more or we just, my preference would be to leave the language and not necessarily limit us quoting just the EEOC. But I just think that given that that is an area of expertise of our particular counsel, that it would be good to get his input on the whole piece. Other than that, I think this differs. This relates to your original comment, Lisa. This differs from the code of conduct that is being or has supposedly been in some process of development for forever. And in fact, I think Wendy sent out something from that KPFT has, which is very good. But at the governance committee meeting, for as long as I have been on the governance committee, they have been working on a code of conduct and have not gotten very far. And this is, I think this is within our purview because it is specific to some of the issues that we're considering and then some. So I don't think it's a problem for our committee to move this myself.
Now, Lydia, I just want to, you mentioned the paragraph that pertains where there's a reference made to the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission.
I'm not suggesting we edit that prior to sending it to council, but I do think we can edit out the Robert's Rules paragraph.
Right.
I would leave in the EEOC paragraph and simply run it by the whole motion by council.
Right, but I also thought I heard you mention something, which I think is very important, that racist or sexual harassment, I guess I should say harassment behavior is not just limited to how it was defined here. Did I understand you to say that?
Right. I mean, we're governed by other things beyond EEOC. I mean, the basis for most of the lawsuits is based, which the paragraph alludes to. I mean, it specifically says that we're governed by local, state, and federal laws with regard to sexual harassment. So, and you know, any suit that would be brought forward would be usually based on that, not specifically on EEOC findings. That's just an agency. So EEOC has its criteria, but with, you know, there's criteria beyond that in these other bodies of laws, which is why I think the wording of that paragraph shouldn't just invoke EEOC, but should have wording that would be more, you know, broader or encompass other things without necessarily quoting whatever. Anyway, that would just be my thinking, but maybe not. I'm just saying send the whole thing to the attorney except for the Robert's Rules paragraph, which I don't think that needed to be in there, but I'd like to hear what others think.
Does anybody else have any comments?
I don't think that the Robert's Rules piece is necessary either. And, you know, the referrals to the mission, now that's fine, but
mm-hmm.
not absolutely required.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Evelyn, could you repeat?
It makes it very wordy.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happens with us is the longer and the more words there are, the longer it takes us to deal with it.
Exactly.
So if we can be more precise and briefer, that may be better.
So you're saying that you were in agreement with the deletion of paragraph 8 with second.
Yeah, and that's a motion on my part, by the way, to amend.
Oh, okay.
To delete that paragraph, assuming that this is a motion we're moving as a committee, because I advocated that as well.
First of all, I thought I heard somebody else come on. Is anybody else? Did anybody else come on?
AC.
Okay, great. So I think we have everybody on the committee. Are there any objections to anyone in terms of deleting paragraph 8, or does anybody have any other considerations pertaining to that?
The other concern, paragraph where it states, in addition to violating Pacifica policies,
mm-hmm.
certain forms of harassment, when we start to quote where this is from, we could get into the problem of not having stated something, so therefore it's assumed that we aren't speaking to that.
That was my concern as well.
So how do you...
So we may want to just not have that or get verbiage from Dan that will cover everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're not that comfortable with this paragraph, but that starts with the in addition, which is 1, 2, 3,
right.
4, paragraph 5 for people.
5, yeah.
Looking at this, not comfortable. One of the things, my own personal feeling about it is... for some of the reasons that Lydia expressed, and I also think it would be good for us as members of this committee to look at some other examples or some other criteria that people who have a lot of expertise, not that I'm saying Pacifica does not, but in dealing with issues pertaining to racism and sexual harassment, and if at all possible, to sort of look at their policies and guidelines with this. I think that definitely... this is kind of I don't see this as a static policy necessarily, because even if we do have something passed, and the more we learn about different things and become sensitive ourselves to various issues, I don't see why that this is something that can't be amended. So I don't just see the code of conduct myself as just a static thing, you know. But we definitely do need to have something to work with. So we're, for the most part, we're not extremely comfortable with the wording of this paragraph.
Can I speak one more time when you're done?
Sure. Okay.
My other concern is that the committee was put together basically to investigate. I have no problem with us putting the verbiage together for code of conduct, but I don't believe that it's in our purview to deal with putting together governance issues as it relates to codes of conduct. I don't think that's what we were put together for. And I'm concerned about setting a precedent of stepping into that territory, because I really believe that there will be more than enough things for us to start to look at as we get into basically the actuating of what the committee was set up for.
Mm-hmm.
And governance has already been given orders to, you know, put a code of conduct together. What we may want to do is push that along. I'm really not comfortable with us starting to put governance pieces together. I'm really not comfortable with that.
Okay. Does anybody have any Anybody want to speak to that or any suggestions?
I would.
I was going to ask Sarv a question.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Sarv, procedurally, is there a mechanism by which a committee can refer to another committee, or does it have to first? Do we have to first refer this to the PNB, and the PNB refers it to governance if we decide to go that route? And I would have my reservations are partly because they haven't come out with something for several years now that they've had it in the working group.
And that's one reason I can't argue with you on that.
I know, but.
I just want to remind people, please, to be...
Yeah, so my question was of SAR procedurally.
Yeah. Well, before I answer that, whether one committee can refer things to the other committee, I want to say that this committee is charged with a very, very specific context. It's established only for looking at racism and sexism by the current PNB members or LSB members throughout the Pacifica network. Whereas the code of conduct, as described under the governance committee jurisdiction, that is much larger encompassing mandate. And so this specific area that's given to us here, we can come up with our own guidelines. For example, if we want to investigate something, how can we investigate something? How would we know what is the standard against which we have to judge something? Well, only way to do that is if we can set up a guideline. This is the anti-sexist behavior. This is anti-racist behavior. These are the definite kind of items that will lead towards that kind of investigation. So I think if we can, we'll be perfectly okay in our purview here to come up with some guidelines that describe that. What is anti-racist behavior, a racist behavior, or sexist behavior? So, and even though it might be covered in code of conduct in the governance committee, I think we still can develop our own standard here. And also referring one committee to another, I think we can do that. I think that when most of our committees have been referring things back and forth, some committees refer their, for example, estimates of finance impact to the finance committee, even without going to PNB. So I think it can be done. As long as everybody is aware of it, what's going on, and it's transparent to the organization, what's going on, and to the board members, I think that's fine.
Can I get on the staff again, please?
Sure. Lydia, are you next? Did you say what you wanted to say? So, Evelyn, I think. Okay, so that's you, Evelyn.
I do believe that we need to have some guidelines in terms of how and what categories and what actually defines racism, racist behavior, sexist behavior, those kinds of things. I believe a lot of that is already laid out in various HR policies that are federal, state, and local that we may want to take a look at so that we are familiar with what has already been established, because these are not new issues in terms of what defines that type of behavior. We don't have to create it. Definitions are already there that have already been tested in court, and the policy's already in place. And most, and our HR manual should contain those documents. And then if we need them on state and local, we should be able to get them from the state that, you know, we have our signal areas. So I don't think we have to recreate the wheel in order to do that. We had previously started doing some of that when the committee was first put together, and I believe AC was a part of beginning that process. He and Rosalinda, I know Rosalinda was working on pulling some things together also, so I don't know exactly where that process was. So we may not have to redo it, but our HR person should be able to give us at least the federal information as in terms of guidelines so that we know what, you know, how those areas are defined. And they are laid out pretty specifically, you know, as far as I know.
Okay, so you're finished. I don't know how to say to people, are you finished without sounding rude? So I don't mean to
That's
sound
okay.
rude.
Yeah. When I'm done, I'll just say I'm done, okay? And that'll make it easier for you, okay?
Thank you, because I'm sitting there, are you done? I don't want to sound rude to anybody. One of the things I want to say, and I hear what you're saying, and I am in agreement somewhat. And one of the things, and I'll put this out there again, because this committee had always had as one of its goals, to work very closely with the HR director and, of course, with legal counsel to the extent that we can. But as you know, we're currently in flux somewhat, and I believe we do have an interim HR director. So that had always been our goal, to get guidance from HR and to look into the things that, like you said, have already gone to court and stuff like that. One of the things that I just wanted to point out, and I need to familiarize myself with this more, but I'm not sure how much of what Pacifica might have for the staff if it speaks to the board directors. So there's a definite need to have something that speaks to board directors as well. Of course, it should not conflict with what's laid out for staff. I mean, sexual harassment or racism and the guidelines for dealing with that, I think, should be very consistent with the other. But, you know, we recognize the need that we had to have something that applied to board directors as well. So, but yeah, I am in agreement with that we do need to look at and work very closely with HR on these issues, you know, because I don't think any of us profess to have all the answers. But, and also just one other thing I want to say, because part of this committee, there will be some overlap. I at least this is the way that I see it, with governance issues. I mean, we are given a very serious charge, and I want to say I'm very glad that we're taking this on, and I commend Pacifica for empowering this committee, or I should say for establishing this committee. And we know that there are questions pertaining to structure and procedure and how things should go forward, and I think that we should not be hesitant about saying how we think something should go forward, because anything that we decide upon as a committee will go before the national board anyway. So in one way or the other, we'll have input on it. But I think on issues like this, and especially with issues with racism and sexism and these other isms that can arise, that it's important, you know, that we do give our input in it and what we think, and we can do it respectfully, hopefully without, you know, stepping on any other committee. But I think it's so important. And I also think it's important, if I'm communicating this correctly, to go beyond just the, for lack of a better word, just like kind of like the standard operating procedure when dealing with these issues. They're so serious, and they require a lot of thought and training. I mean, how do you... You know, they require a lot of self-reflection and examining oneself, ourselves, and other people. So it's, you know, and we haven't seemed to have gone as far as we could in terms of as a country, because these issues continue to arise. So I just think that that it is within our purview, at least on this aspect, like Saul brought out, to give recommendations. These would be recommendations that we would present that we hope that the governance committee or that the board will include, you know. Are there any other?
I'd like to go on the stack here.
Oh, sure, please. Your next AC.
Yeah, we, excuse me. I think also that in addition to consulting with the legal counsel and the HR, that I think we should take on the responsibility of helping the board and others with training on this subject. That is to say that there are plenty of hard large, seasoned legal groups, such as the MALDA, such as NAACP Legal Defense Fund, and Women's Legal Rights. There are other kinds of groups out there that we could, that I think would be happy to get on board. And I think what Evelyn was referring to, with respect to me, yes, we were involved, but we were trying to get some people to get involved in the training process, because I think we need to recommend to the board that there be training set aside for some of these issues and some of these questions, and perhaps throughout the system, because a lot of people just don't understand the nature of them. And this is a sensitive issue, the issue of sexism, racism, xenophobia, sexual harassment, and all of that. These are very, very serious issues that the country is now grappling with, and I think we should have a training component within our recommendations for the board and for the network itself, to have people come in like the ones I've identified, in addition to the lawyers, in addition to the HR, to help familiarize us with in more detail about this, these issues. So I'm going to recommend to this committee that we consider that.
Okay. Lydia, I hear you on the spot.
That AC was finished.
You finished AC? Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. Okay, Lydia, you're next.
That's Lori.
Okay. Pardon?
No, that's
okay. Yes, I was going to say that that it would certainly be within our purview to recommend to the governance committee the aspects that are specific to our committee, which means racism and sexism. So even within this motion that we were looking at, that if we focus on specifics and amplify on the racism and sexism, I think that we would be held in good stead, because some of the talks on code of conduct have a great deal to do with behavior at the LSB and so forth, sometimes acting out or whatever, things that are not specific to racism and sexism. And so I think that that's where we can hone something. Rather than this particular document, we could perhaps take the components that are limited to that and amplify it. For example, at our previous meeting, we did discuss examples of what that means. And in fact, I think it was a meeting that wasn't carried on air quite by accident. It was publicly noticed. But anyway, and that was the notion that we discussed at length, which is that it's about also speech that someone finds offensive, even if you don't recognize why that is offensive. That there should be in Pacifica, specific to Pacifica, is that we should then be willing to refrain from those phrases, those words, the kind of speech that somebody else may not find offensive. If the person feels offended, that should be enough. And I would like to see that articulated in something that we would also forward to governance as part of a code of conduct specific to racism and sexism, because it certainly would apply to both. I think that's a tangible.
Right. Who did I hear somebody else who wanted to be on the spot? Piggybacking off of what you said, Lydia, I think that you, what you just said is very important. And I think another component, and it might not necessarily come under this committee, but I certainly think that there needs to be a little bit more work in general with interpersonal communications, because sometimes it could be about, and we've all had those situations, I'm sure, where we put our foot in our mouth, we've said something and embarrassed somebody, that we said it to, which is also embarrassing, or at least I think, for the person saying it. So how do we get out of, how do we gracefully ease out of those situations? And for me, whenever I've been in those situations, I've always just said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know, I didn't understand, and backed away from it, and that, as far as I know, has usually been helpful. But I think interpersonal communications, although it might not come under the purview of this board, but I certainly do think that that would help just in general across the board with things, and sometimes just understanding, just knowing very specifically, what do you say if you ever accidentally offend somebody, or if you ever, you know, how do you kind of gracefully resolve that without turning it into something? It is not offensive and just back and forth, which doesn't resolve anything that way.
I think the first thing we have to do is not argue with the person if they say they're offended, to just say you're sorry. And because of, you know, because I don't think you're offended, you should be offended, doesn't mean that you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times I think that the way things escalate is that because we don't think we said something offensive, we bicker, we go back and forth, we argue the point of, well, you know, I didn't mean to offend you. Well, that's fine, but if I say that I'm offended, then just be gracious enough to say I'm sorry and not do it again. And I think that a lot of what we see happen happens because of whatever people's own histories are and what their perceptions of what's, you know, racial discrimination or sexual discrimination or age discrimination or saying things, you know, because we don't know it all. Just like you just said, we don't know what other people may find out. And so sometimes in passing, because we've been accustomed to saying things a certain way. But if I say something and you turn around and say you were offended by that, I just have to let it go and say, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't know, and apologize, and then just try not to do it again.
And I've also found that sometimes it can be an opportunity to open up dialogue even more, because if I say something offensive to somebody and I don't understand why they're offended by it, I will usually respectfully ask why. You know, I'll say, oh, I didn't mean it, but why? Why is it offensive? And I remember one time I used the word Oriental when I was referring to a person that was from Asia, and the person corrected me. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then I asked why. I said, but why is that offensive? And she explained it to me. So she said, Orient describes an area. People are from the continent of Asia. I'm like, oh, okay. And I don't think I've ever used that word interchangeably again to describe, you know, people from that continent. But one of the things, another paragraph that I am looking at, and this would be paragraph 4, and this is the paragraph that begins with harassing conduct includes, and I'm just a little uncomfortable with it, probably for the various reasons that other people said they were uncomfortable with in addition to, and it gets descriptive, and I just think in general, with some of the terms or words that are used here, they need to be a little bit better defined. Now I do understand that if you get into too much wordiness, that's going to take forever for it to get passed. But one of the things, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in this particular motion, but maybe it can be explained a little further. Maybe there can, in addition to this, once this motion is passed, there probably needs to be a handbook or guidelines set up to explain what we are referring to, because I think you can get into a thing where somebody can say, oh, well, this was threatening to me, and it might seem something so, like, you know, how do you see that? And again, I don't mean to be disruptive, that seems to contradict what I just said. You know, somebody finds something threatening, then they find it threatening. But I just think some of these words just maybe need to be a little more clearly defined, like when I see specifically threatening, intimidating, or hostile acts. Some, they might be obvious to some of us, but to some people, they might be, oh, you actually bumped into somebody, and they might interpret that as a something.
I want to ask a clarifying question. Apparently, I missed part of the meeting here, but I was wondering I hear references to a motion.
Oh,
and I'd like
yes.
to get some clarification on what precisely are we talking about.
Did you get did you see all the many emails that I sent out pertaining to this meeting today?
I'm looking at one right now, and I'm looking at the guidelines that I've set out here.
Right.
Maybe I missed that part about the motions. I don't know.
Hold on 1 second, a moment. I can tell you what this was emailed with title in 1 second. Does anybody have that email in
front of them? Motion on undiscriminatory conduct by board members.
Okay.
And it was sent out around 11:20.
Today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it then. But that's okay. I was just wondering if someone would summarize it, what it is.
It's a very lengthy motion, AC.
Oh.
Could you send it out to him? Because we did read it. We read it before you were on the call.
For me?
Yeah, I'll forward it to you again, AC.
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know that we have decided to move this motion because I think that Evelyn's point was well taken about how it needs to be governance. Star's point was well, his point of information that I had queried said it would be appropriate for us to forward things to the governance committee, but he also made a point about what the focus of the governance committee is, so aspects of this motion are inappropriate because we have to limit ourselves, I guess, to the race and gender. So I think it will require some rewriting, plus some of the points that we have raised here, which is, you know, what do you do? If you're talking about a code of conduct, then it's more, because what Dan Coughlin did here was he was attempting to craft a policy based on a lot of the already HR policies that Pacifica had in place and was developing at that time. And what we are charged with focusing on, I think, is perhaps both developing something that would prevent us from ever having to investigate a case of racism and sexism. I mean, I would think that would be, you know, part of what we do, or at least recommend some of the things that we might be able to recommend to governance along those lines, but limiting it to it. But in that case, this piece here, if this is the motion that we think we're going to move, I can see half of it being relevant and half of it not being relevant. So I think it requires a couple of people working on the wording, but that's just my thought.
Now, Lydia, I thought I understood you to say sort of like two things. Are you saying that we need a motion to, because people brought out different...
No, what I am saying is that this is a decent boilerplate,
okay.
But taking into account the limitations of the focus of this committee, which is race and gender, does not include disability, which... You know, obviously that has to be in there. But the focus of this committee, if we were to forward something to the
mm-hmm.
governance committee and say, you need to incorporate, we recommend that you incorporate a strong focus on race and gender, and this is some of our thinking is incorporated in this motion, and the motion needs to be very focused on race and gender. And then I think that would probably be appropriate, but I'd like to hear what other people think. But if that's the case, then I think that becomes a working task, right? A couple of people working on the wording, and we can all chime in, but more of an email reworking the document.
You know, I wholeheartedly agree with what Lydia just said. I think this document here, this motion, it has in it that it's not specific to our committee's task. It covers individuals and conduct of applicants, employees, volunteers, others not directly connected to the foundation, such as vendors, consultants, and customers, all that, and all that language, I think. What we have to do is we have to extract the relevant portion out of this motion and then incorporate that into ours. And then also relevant portions of HR that defines the, you know, discriminatory actions, whether it's a state law, whether it's a federal law. And I think we ought to extract those and put them into a small document for our own self, for this committee, and pass it through the Legal Foundation Council and the HR director. And then that would be the one that I think we ought to cover. This one I don't think is ready to be moved yet. This document is pretty raw. As Lydia said, it's half, maybe half good, half not so good, half applicable, half not applicable. So it's not ready to move as far as I'm concerned. I think it needs to be worked quite a bit. That's all I have.
Okay, any other comments or suggestions? Anybody else?
I think I support what Lydia and Solif has just said about that. And I... when you were talking about the issue of referring matters to the governance, you were talking about those elements that pertain to the governance structure.
Well,
you were not talking about subordinating this committee to the governance, are you?
No, I was not. I was saying that Evelyn had earlier raised an issue, because we had come into this with this motion that Lisa was good enough to dig up and send to us, and I was starting to amend it as a motion to pass, and then Evelyn made a very good point that this is a governance issue in terms of the policy per se, and they have a working committee on code of conduct, and
yes,
this is really a code of conduct type of policy. But certainly our expertise in what we're charged with would speak to the issue of bringing a more in-depth analysis and wording into any code of conduct they might be developing with regard to race and sexes. And so that's where I think we would be valuable, because we also need to have a standard by which we're going to be investigating things. So the policy needs to be established. It's kind of like we're doing it backwards. On the other hand, we know some of the things that bring us to the point of having to investigate charges and allegations. And therefore, if we can speak to the development of a policy as we envision it, then that would probably be helpful to that working group. And we wouldn't want them to move ahead with a code of conduct that didn't take the issue of racism and sexism seriously enough and was not thoroughly thought out. So so it kind of morphed, it kind of evolved. I'd be happy to, I think we can as a group, we're a small group, to circulate the suggestion, a new motion that would extract the racism and sexism out of this motion, take out the Roberts rules and the EEOC stuff, and incorporate into it several of us, including Evelyn and myself, had mentioned, and all of us actually, on that issue of even if you don't recognize why someone is offended. That's like a really concrete example that you would endeavor to avoid that kind of conduct or language that person finds offensive, whether you understand the nature, the roots of that offense or not, is very secondary to the need to avoid that. Stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. That's my thinking on it.
Can I get on the stack, please?
Yes.
Me too.
Are you finished? Are you still on the...
No, I'm finished.
No, but AC, were you finished with what you were saying?
No, I can say something later, but go ahead. I want to hear what Evelyn has to say.
Evelyn, do you mind if Laurie hasn't said anything?
Oh, no, please, go right ahead.
Okay, Laurie.
I'm sorry, I didn't know Laurie was on.
Oh, that's all right. I'm in my car and in between different places, so I don't have the motion in front of me. But I did read it earlier today, and I agree with what you have all commented on. But I also think that the training component is very important to mention, specifically because I find it's lacking in a lot of different agencies here in northern Wisconsin.